Good morning. It is very good to see you all. It is such a pleasure to be here. It's so good to see you. Thank you, Brother Amos, for the invitation. It is Palm Sunday. Glory to the King, our conquering Savior. Amen. I'm not going to preach a Palm Sunday message as we might consider a Palm Sunday message. I hope you'll allow that. If not, I hope you'll forgive me. I will preach a message. Hope you'll allow that. How-to books and videos and seminars and sermons are very popular, aren't they? Have been for maybe forever. These days, if you include the words how to and some form of the word success in the title of your video or seminar or whatever it is, you're almost guaranteed an audience. So, I'm going to try to guarantee myself an audience today. Title of my message is How to Be Successful in Navigating Life. How's that sound? Okay, you going to listen? How to Be Successful in Navigating Life. Life is hard, isn't it? It is for a lot of us. I suppose probably most of it, most of us. We're confronted by hard things. We have hard decisions to make. It's hard to understand. It's hard to handle. It's hard to begin to know how to handle. At least for some of us. Maybe most of us. Constantly we're faced to make decisions, but often we're more hopeful than confident in the decisions that we make. So, how do we navigate life without running aground, without breaking up in one of the storms that comes our way? How do we navigate life? Well, I'm going to give you some pointers. I'm going to give you some advice. I'm going to tell you how to do it. Here's the first step. So we'll just get right into it. Here's the first step. First step in being successful in navigating life is to get knowledge. Now, am I doing something wrong that there's a little bit of a sound here? First step is to get knowledge. We all know what knowledge is, right? So what is it? It's kind of hard to find. How to define, isn't it? I mean, do any of you have an answer to the question? What is knowledge? Knowing facts. You know, that's just really a pretty good definition. Let me go to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. He defines it this way. Knowledge is a clear and certain perception of that which exists, or of truth or fact. Now, often to understand a definition, you need to get the definition of a word that's used in the definition. So he says it's a clear and certain perception of that which exists or of truth or fact. Well, what's a perception? And I refer again to Mr. Webster and his definition of perception. He says, in short, it's an impression on the senses, or an impression from the senses, an impression upon you that comes from your senses. And so, knowledge then becomes a clear and certain impression from your senses of that which exists, or of truth or fact. Okay? Well, what are your senses? And he's talking literally about your sight, your hearing, your taste, your touch, feel, your smell, your senses. Do you understand that we could know nothing without our five senses? And now some of us don't have all five of them. But without any senses at all, do you realize we could know nothing? Why? Because we have no way of perceiving anything. So knowledge begins with the senses. Something stimulates one or more of your senses, and your senses sends a message to your brain, making an impression on your brain. And voila, you have gained knowledge. Okay? Because that's what knowledge is. Now, if your brain doesn't have any other previous impressions to relate this new impression to, you might not do anything with it. Okay? Except file it away. But there is, nonetheless, a piece of knowledge sitting there in your cerebral filing cabinet, which we call your memory. A newborn child. And we could even talk about a child in the womb. We'll talk about a newborn child. Here's the voice of its mother, right? The child's eyesight is still weak. Its eyes remain closed most of the time. But it hears the voice of its mother. I have to adjust my hearing aid here because one of my senses is getting kind of weak. So the child hears the voice of his mother. Now, the child has no concept of words or communication, does it? It doesn't. All the child knows is that it's perceiving these waves which have peaks and valleys and a tone and volume. As the mother speaks to the child multiple times, the child's brain, remarkable invention of God that it is, and it is a truly remarkable invention of God. I mean, if there's nothing else in the world that would force you to believe in God, the brain should. Well, the mother speaks to the child multiple times, the child's brain begins to recognize the similarities between each of the new impressions of the mother's voice and the previous impressions that it's already received. And so it starts filing them together. Okay? And then the child's eyesight starts to develop. And it sees its mother. And it sees its mother multiple times. And it recognizes this brain of ours, this child recognizes the similarities, and it starts filing those impressions coming from his sense away in the same file because they're similar. And then, because the brain really is a remarkable invention of God, the child, looking at the mother while she speaks, is able to make the amazing discovery that the impression he's receiving from his ears and the impression that he's receiving from his eyes are coming from the same source. And the child is beginning to have knowledge of his mother. He's beginning to know his mother. It's fascinating, isn't it? Isn't it fascinating how that works? But that's how it works. Knowledge, a clear and certain perception, impression from your senses of that which exists, or of truth in fact. You will never successfully navigate life without knowledge. Okay? And that seems kind of obvious, but I make the statement, you will never successfully navigate life without knowledge. Now, someone might navigate you through life for you, such as a parent does to a newborn, but you'll never direct yourself through life without knowledge. So you must get it. Now, fortunately, because God created most of us with five senses, not all of us have all five, but because he gave us senses, getting knowledge is pretty much automatic. you realize that? Getting knowledge is, it's pretty much automatic. In fact, the process of gaining knowledge never stops. It continues all the time and all through your life because your senses never cease being stimulated and sending messages to your brain. Okay? So in that sense, every one of us is always learning. Now, to some of you, that's an onerous idea, but hey, face up to it. That's the fact. We are continuously learning because we are continuously receiving messages either from what we can feel or what we can smell or what we can hear, see, taste. The accumulation of knowledge will only stop when your senses cease to function. So what matters then, if this is true, and it is, what matters then is what kind of knowledge you are accumulating. Okay? You're with me? You can take that step. It's an obvious one, but it's an important one. What matters then, if we never stop accumulating knowledge, what really matters is what kind of knowledge are we accumulating? And that's going to be determined, isn't it, by our senses, right? So then the question becomes, what is it that is stimulating your senses, your sight, your hearing, your smell, your taste, your feeling? What is it that is stimulating your senses? If you have a child, parents, what is it that is stimulating your children's senses? What are they seeing? What are they hearing? What are they touching? What are they smelling? What are they feeling? What are they about? In that cerebral file cabinet of yours, and if you have children of your child's, which files are bulging and which files are almost empty? Okay? Remember, senses send the message to the brain. Brain files them away. So, which of your files are bulging? And which are empty or almost empty? If you will successfully navigate life, you must choose to target the knowledge that will serve you best in your journey. Knowledge comes from our senses. May I speak the obvious? I'm going to presume a yes. The knowledge you most need to target and to obtain is a knowledge of God. Okay. The knowledge you most need to target and to obtain is a knowledge of God, which, by the way, He is very eager to give to you. That doesn't mean it'll be easy to obtain it. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But He's eager to give it to you. God is the one who is able to give all things to you that pertain unto life and godliness. And how does He do it? At the end of that verse, what's it say? It says, through the knowledge of Him. All things that pertain to life. We're talking about successfully navigating life. All things that pertain to life, we can obtain through the knowledge of Him. The first step in successfully navigating life is get knowledge. Most valuable to you will be the knowledge of God. So now I'll give you the second step. There's four steps, by the way. Okay. I'll give you the second step. First step, get knowledge. Second step, get understanding. Get understanding. Isn't it true that a person can have much knowledge but little understanding? Isn't that true? It is. An accumulation of facts or impressions but no understanding to make them useful. So, of course, we must ask, all right, what's understanding? Now, who's got the answer for that? What is understanding? To answer this question, I find the Oxford Dictionary a little more helpful than Noah Webster, so I go to the Oxford Dictionary, and it offers this definition. Understanding is to know or realize the meaning of words, a language, what somebody says, etc. To know or realize how or why something happens, how it works, or why it is important. See, it is hard to define, so that's kind of ends up being a description of it. The description of it becomes a definition, but that's kind of the best anyone can do. Maybe there's someone who can do better. I don't know who. But we get the idea. Understanding. To know or realize the meaning of words, language, of how or why something happens, how it works, why it's important. Interesting. So how do we get such realizations? Okay. How do we get such realizations? By making connections. By making connections. By making connections between some of the plethora, which means really lot, of pieces, bits of knowledge that you have, these impressions that you have filed away in your memory. By making connections between these impressions that you have filed away in your memory. Let's consider again little, we'll call him Joey, the young child who's learning about his mother. Okay, we'll call him Joey. Let's consider Joey again. Joey has grown just like we want him to. He's become very alert now. He's even a little bit mobile in a hands and knees kind of way. Okay? Joey has a grandfather who likes to pick him up and carry him around the house and show him things. Things like plants and cabinet doors and even light switches. Okay? So Joey and Grandpa go to a light switch. And Grandpa reaches out and shows Joey how to change the position of the light switch. And now he invites Joey to try that. And Joey reaches out and he moves the light switch. And he's just tickled with being able to do that and being allowed to do that both. And then Grandpa points up to a ceiling light. And he moves the light switch and the light comes on. And now he invites Joey to do it. And Joey moves the switch and the light goes off. And this is great. Well, what's happening? You see, Joey has an impression in his mind from his sight of a ceiling light. It doesn't mean anything to him. There it is. But he has this impression in his mind of a ceiling light. And he has an impression on his mind from his sight and from his touch and maybe even from his hearing if the light makes the switch makes a click. He has an impression on his mind of this light switch. But now through this little exercise, he's made a connection between his knowledge of a light and his knowledge of a light switch. And he has started down the path of understanding, hasn't he? He doesn't have a complete understanding. His understanding is deficient, but it started. He started to understand how light switches and lights relate. Connections. In this example, Joey had help, didn't he? His grandfather helped him make the connection. We all need help in making connections. Oh, we can make some on our own. But we all need help, both in collecting knowledge and in gaining understanding. If you rely on your own observations and your own experiences solely and none other, and you never get help, you will find yourself woefully inadequate in handling life. We all need help to successfully navigate life. We do. We all need help. Little Joey, when he was a newborn, if we left him to just on his own navigate life, no help. Not going to give you any help. We know he wouldn't make it, don't we? So at what point do we no longer need help? At what point are your experiences, the knowledge that you've gathered, because your senses had these certain impressions, at what point is that enough that you don't need any help? Well, I think most of you know, but I'll speak it. That point never comes. It really doesn't. Oh, can somebody go become a hermit after they've learned enough to know how to feed themselves and that kind of thing? Yeah, right. We're talking about navigating life successfully. And I offer to you that to navigate life successfully, you never stop needing help. Okay? Understanding to know or realize the meaning of words, a language, what somebody says, to know or realize how or why something happens, how it works, why it is important. Like knowledge, gaining understanding happens throughout your life. But it's not as automatic as gaining knowledge. To gain knowledge, all you need to do is have active senses and an environment that stimulates your senses. And frankly, every one of us here have both. Okay? Again, not necessarily all of us have all of our senses, but we all have senses, and we all live in an environment that stimulates our senses. So we don't need help in the literal sense of collecting knowledge. But connections, to gain understanding, you have to make connections between these bits of knowledge that you collect. And sometimes your environment will provide the impetus to make a connection, and sometimes you'll never make a connection unless somebody shows it to you. Consequently, you will always know more than you understand. But you can narrow the gap if you allow yourself to be taught. Or better yet, if you seek to be taught. Now, once again, I know that to some of you, that idea of being taught is an onerous idea, an unpleasant idea. I'm trying to give you some understanding of why it shouldn't be such an unpleasant idea to you. And in fact, in the practicality of life, you're not going to get by without it. With respect to both knowledge and understanding, there will always be countless facts, countless concepts, fields of knowledge that you will never have exposure to, and therefore no knowledge or understanding of. So what matters then? We already said it about knowledge. Apart from understanding, I say it now regarding knowledge and understanding together. What really matters is, what do you have knowledge and understanding of? So I ask the question, considering all the knowledge that you have already gained, considering all of the knowledge that you've already gained, which of it has been coupled with understanding? Which of it have you applied yourself to understand? Which of it have you sought help to understand? Of all the knowledge that you have up here, but it lacks understanding, which of it have you tried to understand? Which of it have you asked somebody to help you to understand? And now may I again speak the obvious, and I'm going to assume consent again. The understanding you most need to target and obtain is the understanding of all of those facts and ideas that populate the file in your head labeled the knowledge of God. Remember, that's the file that we said we needed to populate when we were talking about knowledge. Well, now, as you populate that file, you need to couple it with understanding. And if you will successfully navigate in life, you must purpose to take your knowledge of God and to understand it. If you will be successful in navigating life, you must purpose. You must make it something that you intend to do and will purpose to do, to take your knowledge of God and couple it with understanding. It's not enough to know God. Many and many will know God and not go to heaven. Simple advice, isn't it? Well, it is, and I know that. But understand what I'm doing here. I'm taking what we know, what we understand about little children, and we watch little children learn and grow up learning, and I'm taking our understanding of those things, and I'm saying, you know what? It's no different in your spiritual life. The process is really the same in your spiritual life. And the fact that you've come through the physical processes of getting these impressions and of making connections and of learning about things, it doesn't automatically mean that you have learned all of the right things, because there's the spiritual realm, which is the realm of God, that we need to apply. We need to recognize the process is the same in the spiritual realm. And we need to make sure it happens, or else we will all of our days be infants. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, by this time you should be more mature than you are. You should be eating meat and you're still on milk. Why? Because they haven't purposed to go through this process. I'll suggest to you, now I wasn't there, I don't know the Corinthians by contact, but I'll suggest to you. So, second step, get understanding. First step, get knowledge. Second step, get understanding. What's the third step? Perhaps you can guess it by now. See, I'm not really just drawing these steps out of my mind. They come from Scripture. Get wisdom. Third step is get wisdom. Get knowledge, get understanding, get wisdom. As much as it is true that a person can have knowledge without understanding, isn't it also true that a person can have both knowledge and understanding without wisdom? Yeah, sure it is. But of course, to affirm that statement, we need to have an understanding of wisdom. So I'll offer a definition. I'm again going to go to Noah Webster, who wrote this wise in defining wisdom as a faculty of the mind, because you see, these concepts that are hard to define, he defines it by talking about practical wisdom and wisdom as a faculty of the mind and wisdom as something acquired. So he kind of gives three different definitions. Well, I'm going to key in on one of the definitions he offers, which is wisdom as a faculty of the mind. And he describes it this way. He says, if wisdom is to be considered a faculty of the mind, it is the faculty of discerning or judging what is most just, proper, and useful. The faculty, the mental faculty of discerning or judging what is most just, proper, and useful. Now, wisdom is an invaluable faculty by which you can take the things that you know and understand, and you can determine how best to apply them to your lives and to the lives of the people around you. Wisdom is the guardian of decision-making. It's what will keep you from poor decisions that make a mess of your life and too often that sorely affect somebody else or perhaps many other people. But you have to have it, and you have to have enough of it, and you have to use it. Now, we run into a problem with wisdom, and one that we have to address, because not everybody agrees on what is wisdom. Not everybody agrees on what's wise. Now, I'm not talking about the definition of wisdom. I'm talking about what is just and proper and useful inside that definition. Okay, it's a matter of discerning or judging what is just and proper and useful. And not everybody has the same idea of what is just, of what is proper, as what is useful. And can I simplify the terms and just say what is right and what is wrong? Okay? Because really that, in the simplest respect, that's what we're trying to determine when we make decisions. What's right and what's wrong? So there's division. And the division can be described this way. There is wisdom which is from above, that is, from God. There is wisdom from above. The wisdom that is of God. And it's God's pronouncement of what is right and what is wrong, of what is good and what is evil. And there are all the other ideas of wisdom, okay? And we'll just lump those all together and we'll call it the wisdom of the world. So, as a matter of simplicity, we can consider that there are two divisions, or there's one division in these ideas of what is wisdom, and that is God's wisdom and the wisdom of the world. Okay? We see these two types of wisdom presented in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Verses 18 through 21 read this way: "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise of this world. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent of the world. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? In the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God. God said, this preaching of the cross, that's what's right. There's wisdom in that. The world says, what? Preaching a man crucified on a cross, a criminal's death, worship him, foolishness. We see the contrast again in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 4 through 7. In my speech, Paul is now speaking, he says, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." James also addresses these two different types of wisdom. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. "Who is a wise man, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." That word meekness, we heard it already today, didn't we? Of our Lord. As a king. Who's wise among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Well, Joey has grown up now. Okay? Little Joey has grown up. He's a man now. A casino was built 10 miles from his church house, just as there's a casino 10 miles from this church house. Joey stops to consider, how should I relate to this casino, this house of gambling that's in my area? The wisdom of the world reasons something like this. Gambling is legal. In this state it is. Gambling gives you an opportunity to do something, to buy something, to achieve something that you haven't here before been able to do, buy, or achieve. Everyone has the right to happiness. That's an inalienable right. This is the wisdom of the world now. So go for it. Just try to use discretionary money, not your food money or your rent money. Right? That's the wisdom of the world. The wisdom from above reasons something like this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. And godly wisdom goes on to reason like this. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6, 24. And furthermore, godly wisdom will reason. If you have money for discretionary spending, isn't it better spent? It is better spent. Giving drink to the thirsty and meat to the hungry and clothing to the naked and the gospel to the world. And so, final judgment of God's wisdom. Don't go to this casino, Joey. Wisdom. The faculty of discerning or judging what is most just, proper, useful, we might say what is right. Now may I speak the obvious? The wisdom you must get is the wisdom of God. If you will find eternal salvation and both temporal and eternal joy, you must apply the wisdom of God to all of your decisions. If you will successfully navigate life, you must have and use the wisdom of God. It is God who defines what is right and wrong, not the world which He, through the Son, created. Okay? Did you hear that? It's God who defines what is right and wrong, not the world that He created. But you will not be able to obtain the wisdom of God if you have no concept of what is right and wrong in His eyes. Okay? You must have knowledge and understanding of what God deems right and wrong in life. Because, you see, wisdom takes your knowledge and understanding of good and evil and applies it to your knowledge and understanding of anything else to determine how best to apply your knowledge and understanding of anything else to your everyday life. Okay? You get that? Wisdom takes your knowledge and understanding of good and evil and it applies it to your knowledge and understanding of anything else to know how to apply your knowledge and understanding of anything else to everyday life. So you need a knowledge of good and evil. Now, saying that you must obtain a knowledge of what God considers to be good and evil, of right and wrong, is really no different than saying that you must obtain a knowledge of God. Because God defines good by His own character. Do you realize that? God defines good by His own character. And what is not, according to His own character, is not good, is evil. We've already said that we must know God to accomplish step one, getting knowledge, and step two, getting understanding. Do you recognize a pattern here? Of course you do. We must know God. But gaining a knowledge of God isn't easy. God wants you to know Him, but you know what? It's not necessarily easy to know Him. Because every one of you and myself, we are all in a battle. We're all in a battle. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, all of which exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And yes, I combined two scriptures there, but that's making connections, isn't it? To enhance our understanding. We're in a battle. And gaining a knowledge of God isn't easy because there's this whole bunch of minions of Satan who are intent on keeping you from gaining the knowledge of God. They exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Which brings us to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Now, these words were written by a man, but they were given by God. So imagine that God is speaking to you as I read these. My son, or my daughter, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek after her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Incline your ear. Apply your heart. Lift up your voice. Seek and search as for silver and treasure. And you will find. You will find the knowledge of God. God desires that you know Him. Hosea 6:6, for I desired mercy, not sacrifice. The knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. He wants you to know Him. Any type of offerings, any type of worship should flow from your knowledge of God. And any offerings that are offered without a knowledge of God are vain offerings. What He really wants is that you would know Him. In that knowledge, you will want to worship Him. You will realize, as children, you were taught this morning regarding praise, that He deserves it. He should receive it. But you have to know Him. Seek Him, God says, and you will find Him, but you must seek Him fervently as you would seek for silver and for hid treasures. I know there's people in here that would be very willing to be very diligent and expend a lot of energy if they knew there was a treasure 8 feet down in a certain location. I know that. Seek God with such fervor. Because you have an adversary who is doing all he can to keep you from finding the treasure. Now, I appeal especially to the young here among us, to those of you who are in the thick of learning. Now, none of us have stopped learning. Some of us are in the thick of it. Some of us, it's like that's our whole life. Well, you know, mostly it is. And that's right. It should be that way. Unless you want to be really, really slow in maturing. And most of us, we don't want to be slow in maturing. So, all right, then buck up and go through this period of life where you're applying yourself to learning. And I'm appealing to you, children. If you're old enough to understand and have a clue what I'm talking about, then you're the ones that I'm appealing to right now. And I urge you and I plead with you to seek hard after knowledge and understanding of God, where you will find also a knowledge and understanding of what's right and what's wrong. I plead with you, young ones among us, I'm talking to you still, I plead with you to put away the mindset of a fool, which comes from your adversary, who is the father of fools. I'm talking about Satan. I'm talking about the devil. The mindset of a fool is to not pay attention to the Word of God and to the God of the Word, to not really care, to not be interested. Now, if that's you, I don't know why it is. Might be because you're lazy. Might be because you're careless. Might be because you're proud. Might be because you don't really know how much knowledge, understanding, wisdom you lack. Whatever the reason is, please understand, you need to seek after God. Only the fool will refuse to seek after God. I read a quote that was not credited to anybody, so I give it to you without credit. Knowledge is proud that she has learned so much. Wisdom is humble that she knows no more. Listen further, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. We're talking about wisdom now. Wisdom and understanding. More precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared to her, to wisdom and understanding. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her or keeps her, gets hold of and keeps understanding and wisdom. But we're talking about the understanding that comes of God and the understanding that comes of the wisdom of God. How pleasant it is. How pleasant it is. How pleasant it can make life for us. It will make life for us. Listen further, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, says the writer. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Do you get the message? Seek after God. Oh, seek after God, please. I continue. When you have knowledge, and you have understanding and you have wisdom, all three together. When you have the facts and you understand how the facts fit together and you know how to apply them, you're thinking well. And you are well suited to navigate life, well suited but not necessarily completely suited. There's one more thing that you need. But before we discuss the one more thing, let's do an equipment check. You see, we've got knowledge, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, but let's take a look at our knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Are there errors or deficiencies in your facts, in your understanding, in your wisdom? See, I give you the counsel, get these things, yes, but maintain them also. Make sure that they're up to par, that they're useful to you. Job's counselors, they had knowledge. They had understanding. They had much wisdom. But they missed the mark in counseling Job, didn't they? Why did they miss the mark? Because their knowledge was not sufficient. It was deficient. They didn't have all the knowledge they needed to be able to have the right understanding of Job's situation, and therefore they could not give the right wisdom to him in their advice. They could not apply the right wisdom to their advice to him because they didn't know anything about the conversation that went on between God and Satan, which was the whole reason that Job was encountering all the troubles that he was encountering. So periodically, check your equipment. Be aware when you know there's a possibility you're missing some information here. Now, I recognize it's impossible to always know, but it is possible in many situations to know, oh, I might not understand everything here, and I better be careful. Too often we see people plunging into giving counsel or plunging into giving themselves advice or whatever, not having the whole picture. And if they stop and thought about it, they would recognize they don't have the whole picture, and so they better be careful. Be careful. Okay? Use the wisdom that you have and apply it to your process of trying to apply wisdom to another situation and hold back. If you recognize there's a possibility, all right, I don't understand this altogether. I don't necessarily have all the information. I'm not necessarily going to give it. I can give some right ideas based on what I know, but what if something else, like a conversation in heaven between Satan and God, took place that I don't know about? Okay. Again, I don't mean to... I mean, that can sound discouraging because how am I ever going to know if I know everything? Well, you're not, but sometimes it's obvious. And I'm just asking you, be careful about those obvious times. You know? Jane comes to you and says, so-and-so did this to me. And now you're really mad at that so-and-so and you're going to do whatever you decide to do. Well, all right, maybe you don't have all the information. Maybe you better make sure that you have all the facts. You know, you get the idea. Well, all right, so there is one more step in this matter of successfully navigating life. One more thing that you need to be successful in navigating life. Okay? Get knowledge. Get understanding. Get wisdom. So what on earth else do I need? What on earth else do I need? You need faith. You need faith. Faith is the fourth element. Faith is the final step. But when I say faith, I'm actually being very specific. I'm talking about faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Him. Colossians 2:3. We spoke of wisdom, and we said there are two types of wisdom, that which is of the world and that which is of God. We said you must seek after the wisdom which is of God. Indeed, you must, and you will find it in Jesus Christ. The Scripture told us that in seeking hard after wisdom, you will find the knowledge of God. Indeed, you will, and you will find it in Jesus Christ. Christ tells us that no man knows the Father but the Son, and to whomsoever He will reveal Him. Did you catch that? No man knows the Father except the Son, and anyone who the Son will reveal the Father to. You want to know God? You go to Jesus. Oh, he's glad to reveal the Father to you. And in fact, you get to know Jesus and you're getting to know the Father. Have I been so long with you? Says Jesus to Philip, to Philip. What did he say it to? You'll find it in Jesus. And by the way, in that verse about no man knows the Father except Jesus, except the Son, the word translated knows, there, the Greek word that's translated knows. Now, know, the word for know, most commonly that we see in Scripture, and the Greek word used is nosko, genos, the transliteration, genosko. This is epinosko. Oh, what's epinosko? That means to know really well. That means to know thoroughly. That means to know intimately. It says no man intimately knows the Father but the Son and those to whom the Son will reveal him. That's the kind of knowledge of God you want. That's the kind of knowledge of God you need. You need to know him thoroughly. To find wisdom, you must find God. To find God, you must find Jesus. To have knowledge, you must find God. To find God, you must find Jesus. We said that to figure out life and to learn how wisely handle life, we must start with knowledge. But the knowledge must be accurate. It must be true. Jesus is the truth, isn't he? As he is the way, as he is the life, Jesus is the truth. We said that understanding is a matter of connecting bits of knowledge, but we must connect them correctly, and the one who knows how everything is connected is the one by whom and for whom all things were created, and that is Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16. Faith. What is faith? I should have said this earlier. What is faith? Faith is being fully persuaded in your own mind. Okay. I draw that from Romans chapter 14, but I'll offer to you as a very adequate definition. Faith is being fully persuaded in your own mind. If you are not fully persuaded in your own mind that Jesus Christ is the one for whom you were created and in whom you must find your rest, then all of your efforts to gain knowledge in this life and to understand this life, and to wisely and successfully navigate this life, are vain. You cannot understand Christ's creation apart from Christ. You can't understand your own self apart from Christ. I'm drawing to a conclusion. I don't know how that is timing-wise, but I'm drawing to a conclusion. And brothers and sisters, you can successfully navigate life. You can. It does take knowledge. It does take understanding. It does take wisdom. It does take faith. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you allow yourself to be fully persuaded in your own mind of all that Jesus has claimed and taught and exemplified, you will find God. And you will know God. And you will get knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And you will successfully navigate life. And that's how to do it. And the Scripture tells us you will be brought to honor and you will receive an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. And that, to me, sounds like a pretty good life. Thank you so much for your attention. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. Truly, may the Lord perfect our understanding of these things.